I've just got a very short scripture this morning from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Now, as today is Mother's Day, I felt we ought to spend a little time this morning looking at this wonderful creation of God that is a mother. A lot of wise, warm and wonderful things have been said about mothers. Oliver Wendell Holmes once wrote, "Youth fades, love droops, the leaves of friendship fall, a mother's secret hope outlives them all." And one of America's greatest presidents, Abraham Lincoln, once wrote, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." One of my favourites comes from a 19th century Roman Catholic clergyman, Cardinal Mermelad. He said, "A mother is she who can take the place of all others, but whose place no one else can take." But perhaps the greatest tribute of all to motherhood, we've already had reference to this morning, is from our Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of his own anguish and agony, as Jesus hung and bled and died on the cross, do you know what was on his mind? Do you remember what he was thinking about? He was thinking about his mother. In his dying moments, the love, the care, the affection, the sacrifice, the hurts, the needs of his mother came to his mind. That's how important she was in his life. We read in John 19, as Eileen has already read, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Isn't that a tremendous tribute to motherhood? For even as he carried the weight of the sin of the whole world on his shoulders, he, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, can't help but think about the love, the care, the hurts and the needs of his mother. So precious was she to him. So this morning, I'd like to pay a little tribute to mothers. And although Mother's Day is not a religious holiday as such, and you won't find it on the liturgical calendar, that's one. Yeah, you see, I can't even say it, never mind, find it. Nevertheless, we do think it's a good thing to pause today in honour, not just our mothers, but all the women in the life of our church family, because you ladies have got so much to teach us about God. We shouldn't really need a special day to honour our mothers. We should do it all the time. But it's good that we do have a special day, that we can allow them, and we can allow ourselves to show them that we love them, honour them and respect them, and to pay tribute to them. Now, of course, our main purpose in coming together this morning is to worship God. But the Bible does tell us that we can learn a lot about God by observing our mothers. In our text this morning, we have what I think is one of the most wonderful and precious of the promises of God. "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." Now, I understand that that promise was spoken to a specific people in a specific place at a specific point in time. Even so, all through the Bible, time and again, God makes this promise to all his people. In Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come to me, all you who are laden and labour, and I will give you rest." When Jesus talked about the outpouring of God's Spirit upon his people, he said in John 14:16, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counsellor or comforter to be with you forever." This promise is for us, and we can claim it. "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted." Surely no greater compliment can ever be paid to motherhood than God comparing his great love for us with the tender, compassionate love of a godly mother for her children. For some of you, God may seem remote and far away. Maybe you didn't grow up in a Christian home, you never learnt the Bible stories at Sunday school, and you never heard your parents pray. He never participated in Sunday worship. It all just seems so foreign to you. Talking to God, having a relationship with him, loving him, he's so abstract, so remote from life, so distant. How can we know him? How can we love a God that we can't see? And that's the very point in which this scripture meets us. What is God really like? Well, he's certainly not like a lot of us have understood him. He's not a big brother high in the sky, looking over our shoulders, just waiting and watching for us to get it wrong, so they can condemn us. He's not an overbearing father who's always pushing us and pushing us, and no matter what we do, it's never quite good enough. That's not who God is. He's not a cosmic killjoy who sits in heaven and watches what he's doing, shakes his finger and says, "Hey, cut that out," every time he sees us laughing and enjoying ourselves. And he's not a permissive old grandfather with a long white beard, out of touch with the world, who goes around saying, "Love, love, love." And he's not a cold and calculating judge who just goes by the book and knows nothing of mercy and compassion and grace. He's not any of those things. But he is like a mother. And you all know about a mother's love, don't you? You may never have seen God, but you've seen the love of a mother. Even the most crude and uncultured among us, even those the furthest from God, understand the love of a mother. Every single one of us has, or had, a mother. And that's what God says. As a mother comforts her child, so I'll comfort you, and you will be comforted. Think with me for just a moment about the characteristics of a mother's love. I want to look at four of them very quickly this morning. Number one is, a mother cherishes her child. Now, do you remember the story about King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3? Now, two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "My lord, this woman and I live in the same house. We had a baby. We each had a baby. Sorry, I had a baby while I was there with me. The third day after my child was born, the woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from her side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him to her breast and put my dead son to my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw it wasn't my son that I had born." So then the woman begins to throw up her hands and protest in vain, and she says to King Solomon, "Oh, no, 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 that's not the way it was. The living one is my son, the dead one is yours, she's lying." And they throw all kinds of accusations at each other. So what does Solomon say? He says, "Bring me a sword." So they bring him a sword, and he says, "Cut the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor I will have him. Cut him in two." Whatever you do, don't. Sorry. The original mother, his real mother, said, "Whatever you do, don't kill him." For one woman, it was all right. She said, "That's fair. Neither of us shall have it." But Solomon gave this ruling: give the living baby to the woman, the one who begged him not to divide the child, for she is his mother. And how did he know that? He knew that because a mother cherishes her child above everything else on earth. She treasured this child so much, she was willing to give up her rights to this child, willing to be wronged, willing to lose the case and be defeated if it meant that her son might live and prosper. And let me remind you that she's no model mother. She was just a prostitute. This child was probably very much an occupational hazard. But a bond between a mother and a child is so strong that everything else in life pales in its sight. What is the relationship between a mother and a child? She cherishes her child. I read this only this week in a newspaper of a mother who gave birth to twins. And this is often the case with twins, they were somewhat premature and weak. One of the twins failed to start breathing, and despite all the efforts of the medical team to resuscitate it, they were unsuccessful. The mother was told that the child was dead, but she asked if she could just hold it before they took it away. They gave her the dead child, and she hugged it. And as the child came into contact with the mother's skin, it began to breathe and revive and live. And I understand that now, many months later, this child is a normal, healthy child. See, there's a special relationship, a special bond between mother and child that defies all logic and explanation. And you know, if you watch Meet the Midwife on a Sunday night and see what they used to do in the days when they knew how to look after kids, the first thing that they do when a child is born is give it to its mother and put it on her chest, on her stomach, on one ear, skin to skin. There is a bond between a mother and a child. And you know what I'm talking about, especially if you're a mother. But even if you're not a mother, every one of us is a child, and we've experienced that love of a mother. So what's the relationship between God and us? Just like the relationship between a mother and a child. In Zephaniah 3, verse 17, we're told, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. He cherishes you." Do you understand that? Do you know that God is in heaven singing over you? That's amazing, isn't it? He rejoices over you with singing. I saw a little sign that said, "To the world you may be one person, but to one person you may be the world. To Almighty God you are the world. He cherishes you that much." But then, secondly, a mother comforts her child like no one else. Let me read you something from Irma Bombeck, one of the great theologians of our day. She wrote, "For the first 4 or 5 years after I had children, I considered motherhood a temporary condition, not a calling. It was a time in my life set aside for exhausting and long hours, but it would pass. One afternoon, with 3 kids in tow, I came out of the supermarket pushing a cart with 4 wheels that went in opposite directions when my toddler son got away from me. Just outside the door, he ran towards a machine holding bubble gum in the glass dome. In a voice that nearly shattered the glass, he shouted, 'Gimme, gimme!' I told him I would give him, what for, if he didn't stop shouting and get in the car. And as I physically tried to pry his body from around the bubble gum machine, he pulled the entire thing over. Glass and balls of bubble gum went flying all over the parking lot. By now, we'd attracted a sizable crowd. I told him that if he didn't get in the car immediately, he'd never see another cartoon as long as he lived. And if he didn't control his temper, he's going to be making license plates for the state for the rest of his life. I tried to stifle his sobs as he looked around at the staring crowd. And then he did something that I was to remember for the rest of my life. In his helpless quest for comfort, he turned to the only one he trusted his emotions to, me. He threw his arms around my knees, held on for dear life. I'd humiliated him, chastised him, and berated him, but I was still all he had. That single incident defined my role. I was a major force in this child's life, and sometimes we forget how important stability is to a child. I've always told my children, the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. The hardest part is showing up each day for it." Now let me ask you, isn't that an accurate picture of many of our lives? We run stubbornly from God. We ignore his word, we pay no attention to his pleas, we completely disregard his ways, and we mess it up. Maybe in our lives, maybe in our careers, maybe in our marriage, maybe in our family. And we find ourselves standing in the midst of shattered pieces, humiliated, frightened, confused, and ashamed. So we throw our arms around the only one that we've got, the one that we've defied, because there ain't no other place to go. And what does he do? He throws his arms around us and comforts us. "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you," says God, "and you will be comforted." In a worship service like this is a time to celebrate what God has done, a time for the saints to sing and be encouraged. But it's a time for invitation, a time to invite those who have wandered away from the arms of God to return back home. Psalm 103 says, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Where else can you turn to forgiveness and assurance. He is the God of all comfort, as the Apostle Paul wrote. And then, number three, a mother sacrifices for her children in ways that defy logic. I'm reminded of the old story about a teacher who asked the students, suppose your mother baked a pie and there were seven of you, your parents and five children. What fraction of the pie would you get? One little boy lifted his hand up and said, 1/6. Oh, I'm afraid you don't know much about fractions, replied the teacher. Remember, there are seven of you. I know, said the boy, and you may know a lot about fractions, but you don't know much about my mother. Mother would say she didn't want any pie. Mothers are sacrificial givers. They literally trek through the valley of the shadow of death, through the anguish, pain of childbirth, to give us life. And they give, and they give, and they give. Someone has said, nobody knows of the work it takes to keep the home together. Nobody knows of the steps it takes. Nobody knows but mother. Making the decision to have a child is to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside your body. But that's human love. But don't forget, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You talk about sacrifice? Why? Why would he do something like that? Why would the Creator God, the mighty and omnipotent one, care so much about sinful, disobedient mankind? Because he cherishes us so much. Because he loves us so much. Mothers give us life, but God gives us eternal life. That's why we worship him. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Let me just give one final characteristic of a mother's love. A mother encourages her child relentlessly and continuously. Mothers have this incredible power and ability to encourage. It's part of their nature, or so it seems. Mothers have this innate nature and ability to inspire. When I prepare a sermon for a Sunday morning, I think to myself, if Jesus were here today, what would he say? And I thought about that this morning. If Jesus were here today, this Mother's Day, what would he say? What would he do? Well, I think he'd spend a major part of his time just encouraging us. I think he would say to the young mothers and fathers here, hang in there. Just keep pouring out your hearts and your lives in the lives of your children. Don't get discouraged at the trials and the toils of parenthood. Just hang in there. And I think he'd say to the mothers and fathers of teenagers, hang in there. Sometimes it seems like you're pushing a rock up a hill, but hang in there. Be faithful, keep praying, keep loving, keep forgiving, keep guiding. I think it's say to the mothers and fathers of grown children, hang in there. Maybe your children haven't gone down the exact path you desired, but hang on, keep loving them, keep reaching out for them, keep lifting them in prayer, hang on in there. And I think it's say to some of the new believers, hang in there. Yeah, you've stumbled and fallen. Yeah, you've found the way more difficult than you thought. But hang in there. Hang in there in faith. And I think you would say to wives whose husbands aren't believers right now, hang on in there. Be faithful. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep living the Christian life. Your influence will have its rewards. I think Jesus would encourage every one of us, each and every one of us today, because that is his nature. Mums, dads, grandmothers, grandfathers, teens and children, we all need to be encouraged today by the word and the promises and the presence of Almighty God. Remember, if you remember nothing else from this sermon this morning, remember what God says in our text this morning. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted. Amen.